Turn with me now to Psalm 119. We are looking at verses 73 through 80 today. This is section Yod. Yod. And children, it has kind of a yah sound to it, like our letter Y. And it also can have an E sound to it, just like our letter Y, or the letter E. Maybe some of you children remember that the Lord Jesus, when he was preaching his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, says that not one jot, not one tittle of the law shall fail. Well, maybe you've wondered before what a jot is and what a tittle is. Well, I'm not going to go into a tittle, but jot is our English translation of the Greek translation of the letter Yod. And what was Jesus speaking of? That not one little detail of God's law is going to fail. Why did he pick this letter? Because it's the littlest letter of all the Hebrew alphabet. It looks almost to us kind of like an apostrophe. That's all the bigger it is. Well, it's not an apostrophe. It's a real letter in their language. And even that little letter, just that little tiny one, that won't fail because God's word, God's law, remains forever. Well, let's look at this section now, beginning with verse 73 of Psalm 119. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word, your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Well, I studied this some, and I was kind of hard-pressed to come up with a theme. But there are some common things in here I want us to see. We see in this portion the awareness of the psalmist that God has made him. God has fashioned him. That means children formed him in a particular way. And that whatever the circumstances he is in, God has planned those out. And in them, whatever they are, when they seem happy, when they seem sad, when they seem... A very basic thing. Now, in the Child's Catechism, some of you children have learned it, you will remember that there is a question right up front. Who made you? God made you, didn't he? And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Even the very basic, simple things are things we need to go over again and again. We need to remember them. Because when we lose the most basic things, when we forget about them, when we start to ignore them, why, it is then that other more complicated things that depend upon the simple things start falling apart too. Now then, it's interesting that in a couple of places in verses 74 and in 79, God moves the psalmist David, is it? Might be, but we don't know for sure. God moves the psalmist to be thinking about other people who fear God, who have a reverence for God. The psalmist here is not only concerned about his own relationship to God and to God's word, but he's concerned about other brothers and sisters as well. He thinks of a happy circumstance. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. When we trust in God's promises, even through difficult times, it's an encouragement to our fellow Christians. I was just reading today that an awful lot of weak and immature Christians, when they read some of the terrible things that have happened to martyrs for Jesus Christ, we might think it would discourage them terribly, but it tends to encourage, because they see that through the most horrible things, God remains with his people and God brings them through. And what an encouragement to other Christians who aren't so strong yet. God will strengthen them in the proper time. And then in verse 79, he says, "Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies." As we know and love God, and as we know and love his word, as we are bound together in Jesus, we're not only bound to him, but to one another. You see, in that circumstance, God has fashioned it, and his word is in application there. Another thing that is here is something that we already looked at back in section Tet, the very previous section. We saw there in verses 67 and verses 71, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." And in verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." In verse 75 here in section Yod, "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." Here David, or the psalmist, thinks about afflictions. Those are hard times, children. Hard times. And we all have to go through them because God has designed them for us for a good reason. Even in hard times, we should be remembering, we must remember, that God didn't just let them happen by accident. He didn't have his attention someplace else, and we foolishly just got off into trouble because God was being negligent. It wasn't that at all. Nor is it that God somehow enjoys making us miserable. That is not it at all either. No, God in faithfulness afflicts us. His judgments are right. Whatever God does is good, works good, and shows his good and holy character, even if it's hard for us for a time. And he does it for us believers. He puts us through hard times that we may come forth more like Jesus. Again, "In faithfulness you have afflicted me." Children, I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it again. Your parents, when you are sick, take you to the doctor and you maybe get disgusting medicine that you have to take, or you get a shot or something like that. I don't know anybody that gets really, really thrilled at the idea of having a shot. Some of us have learned to kind of ignore it, but nobody says, "Oh boy, I'm getting a shot today." Right? And nobody likes the taste of disgusting medicine. Why do your parents do this to you? Why do they force you to get a needle stuck in you? Why do they force you to have this stuff that makes you almost gag? Do they hate you? No. They love you. And they are putting you through this affliction so you will not have worse. Do you enjoy having your ideas said? Do you enjoy having your ideas and your desires crossed, children? Do you like it when your parents say no when you want to do something? Do you enjoy it when your parents say, I want you to do this when you'd want to do that? No, of course you don't. Do they do it to make you miserable? No. They discipline you painfully so you will learn to hate sin. And so you will be weaned off it. They want you to learn godliness. And that is why they afflict you when you sin. And they may put you through something that you don't want to do right now, like doing schoolwork instead of something else that you think is more fun. Because that thing that is more fun won't do you much of any good, but your schoolwork will in the long run. So it is with our God. He afflicts us in righteousness. He afflicts us in faithfulness. Even that, He fits exactly for us, and His word applies then. Well, we could go on and on with all these verses, but the whole point is this. God has made us, each one specially. God has fitted and fashioned us. We should be seeking understanding that we may learn His commandments and apply them in every circumstance, because every circumstance is created by God. It's not an accident. Specially fashioned for us to fit right into, just like a tab into a slot, fits right in there where it should be in order to build us up, to glorify Him, to glorify Jesus. Well, let's think about this as we sing from section Yod. It's actually Psalm 119J in our psalm books. And like every other portion of Psalm 119, this is a prayer. I hope it won't merely be a prayer of the psalmist. I hope as you sing from Psalm 119J, it's your prayer too.